Hello, my name is David Bird, and this talk is on the subject of exercise. It is one in a series of talks on aspects of lifestyle medicine. Just a little bit about myself. I am a doctor who works in Melbourne, Australia, and I have a special interest in lifestyle medicine and in nutritional medicine. Exercise is one of the most important of all lifestyle habits. In fact, you could call exercise a true panacea. That means something that's good for everything. However, not every type of exercise is good for everything. And in this talk, we will be discussing the different types of exercise. But first, let's consider some of the many, many benefits of exercise. Exercise is known to have life extension benefits. Regular exercise may increase lifespan by an average of approximately 2 years. But more than that, exercise greatly improves the quality of life. Let's face it, it's no use living for many hundreds of years even, but having poor quality of life. We want quality and quantity of life. And exercise is a great assistant in achieving this. Exercise is good for many specific conditions for both prevention and treatment. For example, it is helpful for the prevention of cardiovascular diseases. This means diseases that include the heart and major blood vessels. It's helpful for prevention and treatment of congestive heart failure. It helps to prevent and treat high blood pressure. It helps a condition called claudication, which is pain in the calf muscles due to poor blood supply. It reduces the risk of having a stroke, and it helps with cholesterol. Exercise is particularly good at boosting the good cholesterol, known as HDL cholesterol, in your blood. Exercise reduces the risk of developing duodenal ulcers. Now, why is that? Well, the two main causes of peptic ulcers are a certain bug called Helicobacter pylori and stress. And exercise is one of the best habits to neutralize or relieve stress. Exercise also reduces the risk of developing gallstones. You may ask again, why is that? Well, this is interesting. I would like to introduce you to the five main excretory systems of the body. Perhaps you can think of some of those excretory systems. One is obvious, the bowels. The kidneys via the urine is also obvious, but not so obvious is the skin, the liver via the gallbladder system, and the lungs. For healthy bodies, we need to have all of these five excretory systems working efficiently, and they are two vital ingredients to lifestyle that we must do in order to keep these excretory systems working. And these are movement or exercise and sufficient water. If we do not have these in optimal amounts, then the excretory systems will be sluggish, or they might even become completely blocked up, and this will cause disease. So, with respect to gallstones, when we have exercise along with sufficient water, the gallbladder fluid will not stagnate. It will be flowing nicely and not have the same risk of precipitating into gallstones. Exercise also helps with glaucoma, reducing pressure in the eyes. This is because there's another little circulatory system happening in our eyes. Exercise is, in fact, a great circulatory stimulant. It stimulates all the body's circulatory systems, including the little ones, like in the eyes. Exercise reduces the risk of getting respiratory tract infections, including the common cold. Again, this is because the lungs are one of the excretory systems, and when we are breathing in lots of fresh air and keeping the system flowing nicely, then we're going to have better functioning and a stronger respiratory system. Colon cancer risk is also reduced by exercise, and this is another excretory organ of a body, the colon. Exercise is known to reduce the risk of developing breast or cervical cancer or ovarian cancer, and also prostate cancer. And these benefits can be attributed to the way that exercise improves and strengthens the immune system. It increases the activity of the natural killer or NK cells. As one might expect, exercise is also excellent for the prevention and treatment of diabetes mellitus. And this is because exercise causes blood sugar in the arteries in the blood to be pumped into the muscles, thus reducing the level of sugar in the blood. Exercise similarly reduces blood fat levels or triglyceride levels by causing the triglycerides to be pushed into processing rather than sitting in the blood. As you might expect, exercise is good for the treatment and prevention of obesity, also for the treatment and prevention of osteoporosis, which means bones that are low in bone mineral density and likely to fracture more easily. Exercise is good for the treatment and prevention of osteoarthritis as well. This is because exercise strengthens the muscles around the joints and therefore reduces the amount of wobble that we have in joints, and thus reduces the pain that is associated with osteoarthritis. I've mentioned exercise's benefits at reducing stress, and therefore, as you might expect, it is a good tonic for reducing and preventing anxiety, depression, and insomnia. Also, exercise is helpful for the prevention and treatment of enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and premenstrual syndrome. This is probably due to the benefits of exercise at modulating hormones. So this is just a few of the many benefits of exercise. Let's now discuss the main types of exercise. I would like to describe four main types of exercise. The first one is aerobic exercise. This is huffy puffy exercise where we are trying to improve the function of the heart and lungs. It's intended to increase oxygen consumption. Examples of aerobic exercise include walking fast, running, bike riding fast, and fast swimming. Usually activities have to be strenuous or fast in order to produce aerobic exercise benefits. Aerobic exercise is possible to overdo. We call this endurance exercise. In endurance exercise, you are doing prolonged examples of aerobic activity, including, for example, cycling 100 kilometers or participating in a long triathlon or marathon running. Endurance exercise, if participated in too frequently, does have some problems. It can reduce the immune system. It can cause problems with the heart, muscle tone. It can produce muscle weakness of the legs and arms, or whichever part of a body has been overused. It also is known to promote osteoporosis and cause reduced testosterone in men. So you need to be careful not to overdo aerobic exercise or probably any kind of exercise. For most of us, however, overdoing exercise is not the issue. We tend to underdo exercise, and we need to motivate ourselves to make it a priority in our lives. Moving on to our second type of exercise, I would like to mention isotonic or weightlifting or resistance exercise. This is where you are moving the muscles slower and against a resistance such as a weight or an elastic band. Resistance exercise has many of the same benefits as cardiovascular or aerobic exercise, but it does not exercise the lungs and heart in the same manner or to the same degree. Isotonic exercise or anaerobic exercise is particularly helpful for those who are in a burnt out state or have chronic fatigue syndrome, in my experience. Our third type of exercise is work-related exercise. This goes as far back as Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, when God said to Adam, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread." So, work-related exercise means doing a job, such as gardening, building something, even working on the car or doing mechanics. Some people, particularly men, don't like just walking or going on a treadmill. They like to be achieving something at the same time that is constructive, and therefore they should participate in work-orientated exercise. However, there are two types of work-orientated exercise. One is relaxing, when we're doing, for example, a hobby like pottering around in the garden or digging in the garden that we enjoy and don't have a tight schedule or deadlines. And the other type is work exercise, where we are, for example, employed to do furniture removal, or we are employed to build a house and we have schedules, deadlines, and pressure on us. This type of exercise certainly gives us physical exercise in terms of building muscle and helping our bones and so on, but it is not relaxing for the mind. Our fourth type of exercise is simply relaxing exercise, exercise that is done to relax the mind. For example, a gentle stroll in the garden or on the beach, a gentle bike ride, anything gentle and relaxing, serene. And this type of exercise needs to be done by anybody who is wanting to achieve a relaxation of the mind. So, what can we do to motivate ourselves to do exercise? Well, I'd like to share another benefit of exercise that hopefully will provide motivation. I would like to suggest that if you and I get our exercise right, we are likely to also get many other healthy lifestyle habits correct. There are 8 healthy lifestyle habits, which are moderation, having a healthy social and spiritual life, air, nutrition, sunshine, water, exercise, which we're talking about today, and rest. A useful acronym to remember these 8 remedies or lifestyle principles is My Answer, with the Y standing for yield, which is the social and spiritual part. M is moderation, A is air, N is nutrition, S is sunshine, W water, E exercise, and R rest. Now let's consider how exercise helps the other seven of these lifestyle principles. M, moderation. Exercise helps to modulate our appetites. It is very helpful for those who are giving up addictions to do lots of exercise. Exercise can also stimulate an underactive appetite. If you are finding your appetite poor, try cold water swimming about an hour or roughly before a meal is due, and you should find your appetite more peckish and stimulated. Regarding the why, social and spiritual, exercise out of doors in God's creation is certainly helpful at connecting with our Creator and thinking spiritual thoughts. We can pray when we walk, and we can think about and meditate upon the wonderful things that God has made, the trees, the sky. We can listen to the birds singing and so on. And exercising with other people, of course, is a helpful social activity. Going for a walk with a friend is very relaxing and helpful and stress relieving. And sometimes if we have a hard conversation to engage in, going for a walk can help us to get out difficult things that we need to say, and it can help us to listen as well. Regarding the A, air. Well, exercise certainly helps us to breathe deeply, and if we're exercising in a place where there is plenty of fresh air, we're going to get lots of good quality oxygen. It's important not to do huffy-puffy exercise next to a polluted industrial area or alongside a major motorway or highway where there are a lot of car fumes. Then we have nutrition. Exercise improves digestion. After having a meal, it's nice just to go for a gentle walk. Exercise stimulates the digestion of food so that we get the nutrition that we have put into that meal. It's not just what we put in our mouths that counts, it's how well we digest the food. That is also important. Exercise helps with bowel function as well. It's particularly helpful for constipation. S stands for sunshine, and of course we're going to get this on our skin if we receive outdoor exercise. W, water. Most people find that their thirst mechanism is stimulated by appropriate exercise, and they consume good quantities of water, thus stimulating the limitary organs. Exercise also improves rest, the R of our My Answer acronym. It improves our sleep quality. So there you have it. If we focus on getting our exercise right, we are also likely to get the other seven lifestyle habits happening in a very concerted and organized manner, thus promoting health and the quality and quantity of life. I'd like next to talk a little bit more about aerobic exercise as it relates to pulse or heart rates. Before engaging in a new exercise program, and indeed every few years, if you're over the age of 40, you should get a medical evaluation of your heart and your pulse in particular. This is so that you will be safe doing exercise, and particularly if you're wanting to do aerobic exercise. When doing aerobic exercise, there's such a thing as our target heart rate to get the most benefit for our heart and lungs. How do you work out your target heart rate? Well, in order to do this, you need to know three things. Your predicted maximum heart rate. Secondly, your resting heart rate. And thirdly, your level of fitness. Let's look at these one at a time. Your predicted maximum heart rate is the fastest that your heart should ever beat at your age, assuming that you have no other cardiac abnormalities. What we are sharing here does not apply if you have a cardiac arrhythmia or some other heart problem, in which case you should consult with your doctor before thinking about target heart rates or doing aerobic exercise. Your predicted maximum heart rate is found by subtracting your age from 220. For example, if you are 60 years old, 220 minus 60 gives a predicted maximum heart rate of 160 beats per minute, which is the fastest your heart should ever beat if you are 60 years old and have no cardiac abnormalities. Your resting heart rate is the rate your heart beats when at rest and is best taken for a full minute on first waking in the morning. I recommend taking two readings on consecutive mornings and averaging them. For example, your resting heart rate might be 70 beats per minute. Normal heart rates for resting range between 60 and 100, not usually. There are some exceptions to this, but generally 60 to 100 is considered the normal range. Your level of fitness, which is also called your target zone for aerobic exercise, is divided into beginners, which is given as 60%, those already exercising regularly, which is given as 70%, and competitive athletes, which is given as 80%. To work out your target heart rate with these three details, you do the following. First, you subtract your resting heart rate from your predicted maximum heart rate. Secondly, you multiply the total by your target zone. That's your percentage for your level of fitness. And then you add to this figure your resting heart rate. Let's give an example. A person has a resting heart rate of 70 and a predicted maximum heart rate of 160, and they are a beginner. So we use the 60% target zone. So we subtract the resting heart rate from a predicted maximum, 160 minus 70, which gives us 90. Then we times 90 by 0.6, which is our 60%. This gives us 54. And then we add our resting heart rate to this. 54 plus 70 is 124 beats per minute. So 124 beats per minute is the target heart rate for this person. It's interesting that a lot of people, when they are doing their target heart rates for beginner level aerobic exercise, end at about 120 beats per minute, which is about 20 beats every 10 seconds. So you're going to need to be able to take your own pulse or have a machine to help you measure your pulse in order to do this. There is another interesting way of getting an idea if you are reaching your target heart rate. But in order to do this method, you're going to have to exercise with someone else. It goes like this. If you are exercising appropriately for targeting your cardiovascular function, you should be able to talk while you're exercising, but you should not be able to sing. So if you're with someone else or on your own and you can talk, that's fine. But if you can sing, you're not going fast enough for cardiovascular benefits. Mind you, I'm not saying it's bad for you to sing while you exercise. Certainly that could be relaxing, but it's not likely to improve the fitness of your heart and lungs. Unless perhaps you're singing particularly loud, in which case your lungs are going to get some exercise. Finally, on the subject of pulse rates, your pulse should have dropped below 100 beats per minute within 3 to 5 minutes of finishing your aerobic exercise. And I'd like to emphasize again the importance of getting a medical evaluation to check your blood pressure, your family history, your diabetic status, and your weight, and so on, before you embark on a new exercise program, and particularly an aerobic exercise program. I'd like to finish this talk by reflecting on the fact that planned exercise is largely a modern phenomenon, which is the result of the Industrial Revolution, which occurred in the early 1800s, and then the Computer Revolution, which occurred in the, or began, I should say, in about the 1980s. These two revolutions have reduced the amount of labor that was necessary to do essential daily activities such as producing food, cleaning the house, and so on, through mechanization. And the computer revolution has provided more desk jobs than ever before, where people are not getting exercise as part of their work routine. Thus, it has become a modern priority to plan exercise. We need to build exercise into our days. We need to be creative and motivated when it comes to exercise. I would encourage all of my listeners to make exercise a real priority in your lives. Try and exercise with your family, or with your dog, or with your friends. Encourage young people, children, to exercise instead of spending so much time on their modern devices. May God bless you as you try and live a more healthy life with plenty of exercise.